Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of What the Hell? You like that title?
I like that, but mine would be slightly
we'd have to bleep
different.
It.
Yeah, mine, yeah, mine would have to be bleeped.
You want to say What the Hell?
What the Hell?
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to What the Hell.
Yeah.
this is a very special podcast this time because we're going to talk to Diane Warren. And Diane Warren is somebody I've admired for a very long time, and I don't mind saying that out loud. You know, Diane has been inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. She's received a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Someone's walking over me right now.
Somebody's walking over you. I've got a funny story about that, actually. I'll tell
Were you walking all over me?
No, I was walking all over Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, wow.
And some guy on Hollywood Boulevard didn't like that I walked on Charlie Chaplin's star and completely distracted me and came up, "You can't do that." I said,
"You can walk all
I
over
do?
Me.
Right? I can walk on you." Very
it's
good.
Fine. I won't get mad.
She's won a Grammy, an Emmy, a Golden Globe, 3 consecutive Billboard Music Awards for Songwriter of the Year. She's been nominated 11 times for an Oscar, and yet it's eluded her.
Yeah. You never know. Things can change.
Yeah, it's true.
Or maybe they won't, and I'm just going to be happy to be nominated.
Or, you know what? Maybe they will.
I was very excited to get nominated.
Tell me, you were nominated this time for a song in a movie that wasn't really a big-name movie. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a movie called Breakthrough. It came out the beginning of last year in April. It's a faith-based movie. It actually did well. You know, like 45 million, I think, at the box office, but probably people in LA and New York. It was more of a, you know, probably did well in other places in America. But a beautiful movie and a little faith-based movie. But the two words out of there is a little faith, right? We could use a little faith.
Yeah.
A little faith is what kept this boy in the story alive because his mom, he was about a kid that fell through the ice.
Was deemed dead.
Deemed dead. He was dead for 56 minutes. His mom, and the doctor came out to tell her he was gone. The mom went in there and just prayed and begged God to bring his pulse back. His pulse came back. Everything, I mean, it's a true miracle. I met the kid and the boy and his mom at the premiere. He's fine, you know, against every odd possible. And against every odd possible, the song just got nominated, so I'm happy. I mean, it's a really good song.
There's some interesting backstory on this song, too, I'd like to get into a little bit. First of all, there's backstory on you going in and not kind of – you were hesitant.
Yeah, as far as Chrissy Metz singing it.
About Chrissy Metz, about the movie itself.
Well, no, I wasn't hesitant. When I saw the movie, I loved it.
When you
I wanted,
saw it, but before you saw it, it was a small movie.
Yeah, but I don't care. I'll see a movie. It doesn't matter how small it is or what it is. If it moves me, I'll do something for it.
And they wanted Chrissy Metz, to who was the star of the movie, to sing, and you were like...
I was like, really? Yeah, okay. I didn't know if she could sing. I thought, most likely she couldn't, but I didn't know, and I thought, all right, the song. When I wrote it, I really wrote a really good song, and I thought we could have our choice of whoever we want to do it, pretty much, And all the names that were in my mind, none of them were Chrissy Metz, but they the.
But I bet you thought about Chrissy Metz before you thought about Hal Eisner. So.
Well, yeah, she was. You were a little further down.
Way down.
Yeah, sorry. But next time you'll be higher up.
Oh, okay, good. What the hell?
but the thing is, so they said just try her out. And so she came in my studio and worked with my producer. And I left because I didn't want to be in there. And, if it wasn't good, I just don't want to be in the room. But
because you said you don't lie very well.
No, I'm a terrible liar. So I left, I come back, and they played back what she did. And I literally, was knocked off my feet by what I heard. I mean, she was so... She sang the hell out of it. See, what the hell? She sang the hell out of it.
And no, she sang the hell out of it.
She sang the hell out of it,
yeah,
too.
Right.
And but just it was fantastic, and it made me cry, and I just hugged her, and I'm like, I'm not giving this song to anybody but you. She convinced me. It's about faith, right? It's like, it's all about faith.
Isn't that amazing, though, that it just, you had low expectations, and she exceeded them.
Yeah, yeah. But she, once I heard it, I was a believer. No one was going to take that song from her,
How does Diane Warren write a song?
I don't know. I show up. I don't know. I don't know what my process is, except I do it. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm a perfectionist, and, I just either sit at my guitar or the keyboards and
go to work.
Go to work every day.
We talked earlier about a song you wrote in 1985 that I liked a lot. Rhythm of the Night, DeBarge.
35 years ago this year.
Yeah. And I thought you were 34.
Well, I wrote it when I was five, so.
Yeah. Well, you started actually at 14, didn't you?
I mean, I started about 11.
Yeah.
I've been doing this a long time.
So how did that work? How'd you start? How'd that go?
I mean, I wrote songs on my guitar, and then I taught myself piano. And
You were intuitively into music all of a sudden?
Yeah, yeah. I just always loved music. This is what I wanted to do. I kind of knew from an early age what I wanted to do, even before I knew I could do it. And I think, again, it comes down to faith.
Yeah.
It does.
Had a deep faith?
Yeah. It's believing, right? And believing in yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, it's hard, especially in what I do. You know, I'm from Van Nuys. I didn't have people in the music business. You know, I didn't have relatives. I didn't know anybody, you know? But, you know, nothing was really going to stop me.
Right. And nothing has.
No, I don't. I just, you know, the thing is, it's doing the work. It's that 10,000 hours that Malcolm Gladwell talks about, right?
Right.
But even more than 10. I mean, I don't know. How many years is 10,000 hours?
I'll need to get my calculator out.
Yeah,
I'm not good at math. For that one.
But, I can't even add.
Yeah, but, you know, how is it that you sort of look at this idea that you've had 11 nominations, currently the 11th, and yet you're still looking for that first Oscar?
It would be awesome. I'm not going to lie. But the thrill of the nomination, of staying up all night with my friends, one of them is here. That's Wiener. It's my friend. Hi, Wiener. So we all stayed up. Wiener stayed up. My friends came over. We had a sleepless sleepover, you know, and just waiting for the nominations. I love when people go, oh, yeah, I slept through them and my agent called me. I mean, sure. I don't believe that. Well, I mean, really, come on. So I didn't even pretend, and we stayed up all night, and this was a crazy year. It was a very competitive year. You know, you had Beyonce, you had, you know, like all these Disney movies and a lot of big movies, you know, with songs in it. You know, it was like, you know, over 75 songs, then down to a short list of 15. But within those 15, there were songs from a lot bigger movies than my song was in. But I think what with the song, it's really resonated. It's gotten different lives, right? Like ACLU did this, you know, when Chrissy sang it, it was a song, you know, it was like their theme song. You know, it was the 50-year anniversary of Stonewall. Then it represented, you know, the LGBTQ struggle.
Right.
And now all the, you know, there's so many, you know, it was just used in a video that was made with the firefighters saving animals in Australia.
Right.
So the song is really taking on different lives.
I like those songs that are sort of mantras. They're sort of themes.
Positive.
They're positive. Yeah. They're uplifting.
Yeah.
And something about some of the songs you've written, they swell.
Yeah.
They sort of have.
They're swell or they swell?
They are swell. and you're swell too.
Thank you.
But
you're swell.
Thanks. They tend to.
And you swell.
they have just sort of this thing that kind of gives you a goosebump and boom, up you go. Is that something you like to employ? A tool you like to use in writing?
I mean, so I'm not conscious of it.
Yeah.
I just like to write what feels right to me and what moves me. I figure if it moves me, it's going to move somebody else.
So what kinds of things move you? Like that scene in the film moved you, but for
yeah, I mean that. In general, or well, I mean, for this song, it was that scene in the movie where everybody stood up. That the whole town basically stood up. That you know, the preacher asked the kids, I mean, not the kids, for everybody in the room, like from firefighters to his friends. You know, I want everybody to stand that kept believing that he'd be okay, and literally the whole room, and it really. It was a beautiful moment in that movie. And
it's heart bumpy.
And then the song outside of the movie is having all these different lives, which is really, and I try to do that when I write songs for movies. First and foremost, it has to fit the movie. It goes without saying. But when you do it right, it lives outside of the movie. You know
and,
what I mean?
And so you've been writing for 35 years?
Well, I've been writing a lot longer than 35 years.
All right, so.
Rhythm of the Night was 35 years, yeah.
And you started, what was the first song?
That I ever wrote? I don't know.
It's something you just kind of wrote and did and moved on.
Yeah, I mean, I probably thought it was really good or something.
Did you have teachers when you were young that sort
no.
of? No, you did it all yourself.
No. Yeah. I took one class at Pierce Junior College, you know, but you can't really teach songwriting, I don't think.
Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, I was a saxophone player in high school.
Oh, wow.
I started off, I played violin because my grandpa played violin. I didn't do very well with that. I played piano because my aunt played piano. I didn't do very well with that. I wanted to have a horn that I blew, so somehow I got wrangled into doing the bassoon. I didn't care for that one very much. And then I got moved over to the saxophone.
Not a big demand for bassoon players.
No, not necessarily, no. And then my dad was in a big band in college, and he played saxophone and clarinet. My brother took his clarinet. I took the saxophone. He went and learned clarinet. I went and learned saxophone. I was in the marching band. It was wonderful. I mean, wow. Once I found the right instrument,
right.
I really got into it.
Yeah, you find your calling.
So it was a guitar or piano for you?
Started as a guitar. I started with guitar.
Yeah.
Taught myself. And then I taught myself piano.
That's really something because I have two guitars at home, and I'm still waiting for somebody to teach me how to play them. So it's like, you know.
When I tried to take lessons, the teacher told my dad not to bring me back.
Is that right?
That I was tone deaf and had no future in music.
And speaking of anecdotes, how's that for a transition? Speaking of anecdotes, tell me a little something interesting about one of the songs or a couple of the songs that really kind of stuck with you all these years. Something about some backstory that you thought was really interesting.
They all have backstories. It's like when I have to remember what they were. I can never remember anything.
Well, I had that problem when people ask me what's the most interesting story you ever did, right?
I'll tell you a good story. It's nothing to do with a nominated song, but a song I wrote called I Was Here. When I wrote it on my guitar, and I thought, you know, this could be a great song for Beyonce, but it could also work for, you know, someone like, you know, Susan Boyle or something like that. You could do, you know, something totally different. Because when you write a song, a really open song, that's really a really good song, actually. So that could live in different, you know, arrangements. So I sent it to, I'm friends with Simon Cowell, so I sent it to him.
Oh, I like him.
And then, no, I like him too. And then I called Jay-Z and played the song to him, and he loved it. And Beyonce, you know, called me, and I played it for her. And she, like, literally stopped her whole album to do the song. But I had sent the song, like, just my guitar vocal to Simon. And so the night, it was a Wednesday night. When I played for Beyonce, it was a Monday. She recorded on a Wednesday. So I was up all night, you know, just in the studio with her, and I couldn't sleep because the performance was so amazing that I was so excited about it. Next morning, I get an email from someone in Simon's office because I'd sent it to him, remember?
Right.
And the email goes, well, it just doesn't go all the way for us. It was my favorite email to write back. Well, funny enough, I was in the studio with the biggest artist in the world, and you know, that's all right because it went all the way for her. Smiley face.
Right. Yeah, it's always nice to be able to do something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that was fun.
I think what I'd like to hear from you is sort of, people will listen to this podcast even after the Oscars.
Cool.
So, I mean, you know, once these podcasts get out there in the universe of podcasting, they're out there for a long time.
Cool.
And so I'd like to think in terms of what would you want people to remember Diane Warren as? What would you want people to think of you about after this Oscar thing is over? I mean, there'll be other Oscars.
Yeah, I mean, I have all kinds of stuff I'm working on now,
How many things do you work on at one time?
A lot. I write one song at a time, but I have a lot of projects I'm working on.
So you multitask a lot.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in your studio
just to sort of see.
No, I don't want to fly
somewhere else.
Yeah, well, that sounds like the title of a song. I want to fly somewhere else.
There you go. See?
Can we make a hit out of that?
You can.
I can. All right. Well, I just got told, didn't I? All right. Bottom line is, it is wonderful to talk to you.
Good to talk
to
you.
And when the Oscars come along, I'll be sitting there rooting for you, going, Diane.
And I'll be sitting in my seat, like, going, oh my God.
Do you get all pent up?
Oh, yes. Anybody that says they don't are lying to you.
Well, you know, I've been in news competitions and stuff like that. I get that way.
When I was up against Titanic, it's like, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knew they were going to lose, so that was okay. Even, like, Shallow, I was up against that last year.
Yeah.
You know, because I wrote the Gaga song a few years back with Till It Happens to You, that's when I kind of thought was going to win. But anyways, last year when she won, you know, everybody kind of knew she was going to win. I remember sitting there, like, didn't even bother, you know. Because there was no chance.
Well, you know, you,
but there is one this year.
There is. I mean, you never know.
Even, it's wide open.
Even in a year where you're a dark horse, if you're a dark horse, dark horses win.
Well, underdogs are fierce.
Yes.
Don't ever underestimate an underdog.
Sometimes when you're the lead horse in the race, you don't necessarily win.
Yeah.
So I mean,
it's those little sneaky underdogs.
The sneaky underdogs?
Yeah.
That sounds like a song, too. That sneaky underdog.
You're getting a lot of song ideas, too.
Yeah, I am. Wait a minute. Write that down.
Sneaky
underdog. Okay, I got it. Thanks, Diane. What a treat to talk with you. And this song, I'm Standing With You. What a wonderful song. It's from the movie Breakthrough. Let's go out with it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time. Diane Warren's song, I'm Standing With You.
When your faith is running low, I'll never lose faith in you. When the night surrounds you and and you think that no one cares about you, I will go and throw my arms around you. I'll be there through whatever. Giving up, well, I won't let you. Through whatever you go through, I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. We all got times when we can't be strong, when it feels like our hope is gone. But I'm right here. Right here to lean on. I'll always be strong for you. And when you're feeling broken, and it seems like everything.